spend a few moments this morning in our time together just concentrating on this first few lines of the Gospel according to St. John, because it parlays nicely into a reminder that we all should take to heart, myself included, as we prepare in this last week of Lent, preparing for Holy Week, in regards to our celebration of the sacrament of penance, of making a good confession. And the beginning of the Gospel is a little bit interesting, and I have to admit that I have to be very careful when I read this, because the first line is, "Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip." So these persons are from Greece. I don't remember this, but people have reminded me in the past, instead of saying some Greeks, I have actually said some geeks who come to worship at the Passover feast. And people already had in their mind, you know, the pocket protectors and the laptop, you know, and the buck teeth and the whole thing, right? So, I don't think I said that this morning. I'm pretty conscientious of it because I apparently made this mistake before. But we have some Greeks from Greece, and they are in Jerusalem, and they are coming to worship at the Passover. Now, I want us to pay close attention to what happens in this moment. The first thing they do is that they go to St. Philip, who's one of the apostles. And then, St. Philip goes and finds St. Andrew, another one of the apostles. And then together, they go and seek out our Lord. Now you might wonder to yourself, is that just sort of an odd thing? I mean, I think it's an odd thing to just put in there if there were no reason for it, but there's a very good reason for it. Right? After all, I mean, couldn't some Greeks just have gone to Jesus? Or maybe they could have gone to St. Philip and skipped St. Andrew. Any number of combinations might have worked. But John puts this piece in the Gospel to prove to us a very important point about the way that Christ has set up the church and the way that he has set up our sacramental system. It's very important because it actually lends right into the sacrament of penance. And it goes something like this, and it's difficult sometimes for us to understand, to assimilate this idea, but let's give it a try. We have been raised in a country where we definitely put a lot of emphasis on the individual. We're taught that America was built by rugged individuals. You know, if you want something done right, do it yourself, we always say, right? And we also pride ourselves on being self-made men. I don't need anyone's help. I didn't need the government's help. I didn't need anyone an extra leg up. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I did it myself. But that is not the way of the church. In fact, the way of the church is rooted in something called mediation. Think about it. We call Mary, among her many titles, mediatrix of all graces. That title means that all of the graces flowing into the world from Christ come through her hands. And all of the merits of our good works on earth flow back to God through her hands. Parents have to mediate the experience of God to their children amongst many things that they have to mediate. They have to teach them language, and they have to teach them expressions and manners and etiquette and the manner of good living. Even in the church, people come to confession and they confess their sins through a priest to God, a mediator. In fact, really, if you think about what Jesus did on the cross, he was mediating our salvation to the Father on our behalf. At Mass, the priest offers the bread and wine, acting as mediator on behalf of the people of God present, the people of God in purgatory, and the saints glorified in heaven. All three are at prayer. The church is at prayer through the hands and the mediatorship of the priest. And look what happens. The Greeks go to Philip. It's probably for good reason. Philip is a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. So it's most likely that Philip, with a Greek name, probably spoke Greek. Then he goes and finds one of his companions, St. Andrew, one of the first three apostles called by Jesus, and certainly in his inner circle. And he again, we don't like to think of Jesus playing favorites, but he does. Remember, the transfiguration didn't occur in front of all the apostles. It was just Peter, James, and John. When Jesus is in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, who are the three closest to Jesus? Peter, James, and John. Jesus has favorites. It's okay. Right? Look at some of the saints, how they were favored. Any of you ever watched The Song of Bernadette, a classic movie on St. Bernadette's life? St. Bernadette finally goes to the convent after all the apparitions at Lourdes are over. And all the older nuns are screaming at St. Bernadette because they don't understand why she was chosen to receive the apparitions and they who had spent decades in the monastery had never received a single consolation in prayer. Mediatorship is all over the Old Testament. Moses mediating on behalf of the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the prophets, the kings, the judges, all of them are mediators on God's behalf for the people of God. The exact same dynamic is happening in the sacrament of penance. You are confessing to a human person who ultimately serves as the conduit and mediator to God himself. But what do we hear time and again at this time of year? I don't need to go to confession, I go directly to God. That betrays what he did for us. We couldn't go directly to God. Jesus had to take on our humanity to take us with him to the Father. And look what Jesus says, right? He who comes with me to the Father. Right? It's not he who just goes alone to the Father. Mediatorship is at the heart of our worship. The Jews even in the temple did this for centuries. The priest offering the sacrifice in the temple on behalf of the people. So many times we hear people say, I don't need confession. God knows my heart. He has forgiven me. I don't need to tell a priest my sins. Right? And that obviously becomes fodder for the rationalization that enters into why people won't go to confession. So it's important for us as we prepare for this sacrament, and many of you I know will be receiving it in the next few days here, that we really take time to understand that, you know, speaking as a priest and as a Catholic, in the last 5 days of Advent in this parish, we heard 28 hours of confessions. 28 hours of confessions. I am pooped after half an hour. You don't know what it's like to sit inside the confessional and just hear all of people's sordid lives and their sins. It's really hard. And trust me, I don't do it for my own pleasure. Okay? Sometimes I feel a little, okay. After hours of hearing confessions, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for you. Right? The bishop has sent us. God has anointed us through the hands of the bishop in ordination. But I'll tell you, even though hearing confessions is harder, what's even harder is when we have no one coming to confession. That's even harder. Because that means we're not doing our job from the pulpit. We're not communicating that we need God's mercy because we sin. You know, and my bishop said this so well at a day of recollection he gave for us priests on Tuesday. He said, you know, sometimes, he said to us, my brethren, many times people don't want to come to confession because they say, God loves me where I am. And that's true, he does. God does love each of us exactly where we are. But he loves us way too much to let us stay there. It's an interesting spin on it, isn't it? Because a lot of people stop at the first sentence. God loves me where I am. I don't need to confess. But the bishop's right. He loves us so much that he won't let us stay where we are. Because he knows that we can be better. So as we prepare for the sacrament of penance, just a couple of things come to mind, maybe to help round out our understanding and things that we should be mindful of as we prepare for the sacrament. The first is that when you confess during confession, I hope you're eminently aware of this as you go through the sacrament, to participate in it. Some here will be making their first confessions. They're converts to the Catholic faith. They're getting ready. And I know that all semester long we've been preparing for all the different things. This is the one thing they fear the most. Right? They'll accept anything that the church teaches, but having to go to confession, yikes! Okay? A little scared about that. Right? And I have Marines in our class. They'll run and take a hill while people are shooting at them. But going to confession? Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. You know? Okay. So when we're getting ready for confession, let's keep in mind a few things. The first is this. When you're coming to confession, yes, you are being reconciled to God, for sure. But there's often a side of this that often gets left out. You don't think of this very much. You're actually being reconciled to the entire community of faith called the Catholic Church. Now you wonder how that might be. The priest is not just acting in the person of Christ, he's also acting on behalf of all the persons in the Catholic Church. Which begs a very interesting question, doesn't it? What if my sins, at least in my own thinking, are so private, why would I need to be reconciled to other people? There's no such thing as a private sin. Yes, maybe the sins were committed in the dark, or clandestinely, or in your mind. No one else knows about it. But every sin, no matter how private you may think it is, always has a social dimension. Meaning to say that if we're all members of the body of Christ, any sin injures the rest of the body. Ever had a nagging splinter stuck in your finger and you just can't wait to get it out? You know, and children, I know a lot of you have experienced this, and you know, you just go up to mommy and say, just do it. Okay, get rid of it. Okay, be gone with it. I know it's going to hurt, but it needs to happen. Right? You're eminently aware that that splinter is there. And you know, you just don't say, my finger hurts. You say, I hurt. The whole me recognizes something's wrong with my finger. It's just not my finger telling me that. I know that. That's me. It's the same thing with our sins. Every sin. I'll just give you one example. Right? Let's say you struggle with impure thoughts. You might say, well, no one knows about those, just me. Okay? Alright. That colors how you view other people. If your heart is not pure, you will view others impurely. That's a sin against them, even if they don't know it. And it's certainly a sin against yourself, because it's below your dignity as a baptized Christian. You see, so even something that says, well, just here, no. Everyone is injured by our sins. Everyone is. So when you confess to the priest, he's not just reconciling you to God, he's actually reconciling you to the rest of the church. And if you think of it in those terms, it's a good thing you only have to confess to the priest. What if you had to confess to the person you had actually injured? Could you imagine some of us men, right, at the grocery store? Excuse me, ma'am, I just want to let you know that I sinned against you. I'm very sorry. Awkward. Right? It's good you just get to tell the priest. That makes it easier, actually, doesn't it? I mean, it's a lot easier, in a certain, relatively speaking, to tell the priest that you sinned against as opposed to having to tell everyone that you sinned against. Okay. So that's one aspect. Now, the second thing is that the pool of people who should not be coming to confession is a relatively small pool. We're talking about the divorced and the remarried outside the church. Okay? And they know why. And if they don't, then you can ask us after Mass and we'll explain. Or, it could be people who really don't have a desire to change. This happens a lot with teenage children. Their parents push them into the confessional, but the kids don't really want to go. Okay, and so it's like just like forced confession. All right, that's not a good practice, parents. The better way is to do the catechesis and the education and the formation. And your own example and own admission that I need to go to confession too. So we're all going to get in line for this. Okay? And I know parents sometimes just say, you know, but I just want them to go and they don't want to go. Okay. Be patient. Be patient with your children. God knows He is patient with us. Be patient with your children. I would always submit, it is worse to force a child into confession than to take the time to work with them so that they come to the realization of why they need to go in the first place. Right? And that sometimes that takes a lot of work. I realize that because I work with children all the time. Then we think about the actual sacrament itself. And then parents, I implore you, if your children are not sure, I mean like the back of their hand, what to do in the confessional, please do some role playing. It's worth it. But please, on behalf of Father DiMartino and all the priests coming, it's very hard to walk a child through confession, to teach them how to make the sacrament, and to actually have them confess their sins. Because they get so discombobulated by the fact that they don't know what they're doing, let alone what they've done. So by the time we actually get to their sins, they're already freaked out. Okay, because the only thing they're expecting to come from the other side of the screen is, your penance is three Hail Marys. But when Father says, okay, do you know how to make the act of contrition? No, what's that? Please, do some role play for our sakes. And it's also important, too, that we all make our examination of conscience before we go to confession. There is nothing more exasperating for a priest in the confessional when he knows there are 40 people in line. And believe you me, if you were here for Advent, there will be 40 people in line. Because everyone waits till the bitter end. Okay? And the confession goes something like this. Have I given God much time today? Let me think about that for a second. Oh no, we're going to be here all night. Okay? This is the time of the year, laundry list. Okay? If you need an appointment to discuss these things more, after Easter. Okay? Or in an appointment, it's fine. But when confession lines are long, it's very hard to do, it's really not the time for spiritual direction, in other words. Okay, this is a time for us to confess. And also when you finish up, it's always good to say, and for these and all my sins, or something like, and that's all I can remember at this time. Very easy, because you know what happens sometimes? There's this awkward silence, and the priest doesn't want to rush you, because you actually might be thinking about something, but if you have a laundry list, okay, it might be easier to go down. If you want to write something down and bring it in with you, that's fine. There's no penalty for bringing, you can bring whatever books and papers you need to make a good confession. It's fine. Okay? Sometimes people think that they can't read during the confession. Sure they can. You know what, you can, whatever helps you, it's absolutely fine. Don't be deterred by that. But at the end, when you're done, just say, these are my sins, and I'm done. Because otherwise, Father's just waiting there, you know, and it always happens. When he says, are you through? Are you done? No, there's more. I'm like, okay. You know, let's kind of move it along. Okay. If you're hard of hearing, please go to Father DiMartino and go face to face. Because you can't hear me through the screen. And then I have to yell, and then everyone outside thinks I'm yelling at you. But I am yelling at you, but I'm not angry. I just, like, you know, your penance. I mean, you know, it's very awkward. I don't have like a phone at jail, you know, where you hold the phone up to your ear. I don't have that, okay? So if you're hard of hearing, now, if you only, or you prefer to confess in Spanish because your English is awkward for you, you can come to me, okay? So that's fine. And lastly, let's not be surprised by any of our sins, let alone ultimately discouraged by them. I have to admit, as a weekly penitent, there is nothing more humbling I have to do every week than to go to confession. Why? I go to confession always to a brother priest. I have to. I can't go to the bishop, not allowed. Okay? I have to go to another priest. And I live in a part of the diocese where there are not a lot of us around here. When I used to live in Arlington, I could go across the river into Washington. And I could go to the National Shrine, the Franciscan Monastery, the religious orders all around Catholic University. Oh, I had a whole set of choices. But living where I do, and I was the same when I was down in King George and Colonial Beach, I didn't have that option. So I have to go and sit down, most of the time just kneeling down, in front of a brother priest, who's my peer. I work with him. He knows me. We went to seminary together. Or he's an old mentor. And I have to kneel down and spill the beans. That's very hard. So I know what it's like to go to confession, so much so I go every week. To remind me that what you have to do, not every week, hopefully. We always recommend at least a monthly confession, if more if necessary. But it does two things. One is the humbling. That's the only way you become humble, is to be humiliated. And two, to help develop a precision in the formation of my conscience. That I just don't confess my sins in general. I'm working on particular things. And if you don't know what your sins are, ask your spouse. They'll be happy to tell you, I'm sure. Children, if you don't know what your sins are, ask your siblings. Or ask your parents. They'll be very happy to tell you what your sins are. Right? Because we all have to come face to face with our need between, and also the fact that we need mediators to act on our behalf. And believe you me, sometimes the priest asks you questions during the confession. It's not for my own sake. Believe you me, I'd rather not. It's a lot easier just to sit there and hear the sins and say, okay, three Hail Marys and act of contrition. We ask questions not for our own sake, but we ask questions to help form in your hearts and your minds a precision in the formation of your conscience. And it works both ways. On the one hand, it's helpful that when sometimes people are scrupulous and they're accusing themselves of things they're really not, that are not really sinful. Right? We talk about anger a lot. Right? Righteous anger versus uncharitable anger. I've said a lot about that from this pulpit. And on the other hand, when people don't see that some of the things that they're doing are actually pretty serious, and they kind of have to be made aware, that's actually pretty serious what you just said. Oh, I thought it was venial. No, by itself it already admits a grave matter. And so they're both ends. And people who come to confession to me, I know, I'm sure Father does the same thing. Many times, if you confess something to me, I'll just as well as say, that's probably not a sin. No? I'll give you an example. I missed Mass on Sunday. Why? I was going to church and the car broke down. That's not a sin. But I missed Mass. I know. Were you trying to? No. Okay. Great matter. Yeah, you missed Mass. Sure. Sufficient reflection. Were you premeditating this? No. Did you intend to miss Mass? No. Okay, you're missing two of the three ingredients for mortal sin. No sin. But I felt bad. I know. It's okay you felt bad. But that's not a sin. Big difference between feeling bad and committing a sin. So you see, that's one extreme. The other extreme is, oh, I commit X, Y, and Z. It's not a big deal. Actually, that's pretty serious. And then I have to kind of pinpoint. And let me explain to you why. So believe me, anytime we engage you in the confessional, it's not for us. Again, it's so much easier just to let it slide. But if we do address you in a certain way and ask you questions or, you know, propose certain changes, it's merely because, at the end of the day, we're doing it for your salvation because we love you. If we didn't love you, and you know, parents, how it is, right? If you don't love your kids, you just let it slide. But if you really love your kids, you need to have the stamina to correct, to admonish, to shape, form, to change. It's a lot of work. Well, that's why you call us Father. Because we're your spiritual fathers. It's not just a pithy title, but it actually points to the mediation that Christ sets up in our gospel. So my friends, let us pray for each other that we will make good confessions this next 2 weeks for those who have not gone. And I have to say for those who have already made confessions, by far they have been beautiful, very pleasing to our Lord. He must be thrilled to know how many persons who have been away for so many years have finally at last, by His grace, come back. So let us pray that many more in this particular category of people in our parish do respond to the call, and that we trust in the mediatorship that God has set up for us unto everlasting life. O Mary, conceive without sin.